Crichton now from Thriving Southland Project Lead. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Afternoon, Andy. Good to be here.
Yep. Yeah, Thriving Southland, how's things been?
Yeah, no, they've been pretty busy up until probably the beginning of August. And as everybody starts to get their heads down and focusing on carving, and then there's lining coming up. So, yeah, it's the team are getting a bit of a chance to regroup for the as we get later in the year and those groups start moving again. Yeah.
Now, another winter grazing season's been and gone. Today we're going to focus on the winter grazing trial that Thriving Southland was involved with. Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, so that came out of a catchment group and the sort of dairy hub and really a whole community of farmers, cross-sectoral farmers, really looking at, you know, the differences, different ways of cropping we're having on animal welfare, animal health, soil condition. The stuff that farmers are looking at all the time, and it was trying to wrap some science around it and observations to see whether there were some positive messages to be taken out of it. Yeah.
Because we look at the different methods over the years. It used to be just ridging for putting in swedes. But these days it's all changed now. No tillage, strip tillage, etc., for example. They were the two methods pretty much looked at this year.
Yeah, they were, and they were looked at by a whole. So the whole catchment group got involved. There were a lot of farmers involved in taking the measurements. There was a lot of work. They were looking at the outcomes for the soil, outcomes for the animals, and looking at all the different conditions that as pulled together to get a positive cropping outcome for the whole 9 yards, really. Yeah,
because that's the thing you're looking at when you're doing your winter grazing. It's about always trying something different if it's going to work out. But that's just farming in general, isn't it? It just seems though that winter grazing, you're looking at 10 weeks of having everything on crop, because there's zero growth down here in the south and you need to adapt. So it's about finding methods that are going to work for your system.
It is, and I think some of the observations that came out of the trial were, really quite interesting. Probably soil type had the biggest, one of the biggest effects on your outcomes. Good management practice really, really helped, but it's making sure that people are flexible around that and thinking about it. Some of the direct drilling, you would think, oh, that's going to be drier, but you got more pooling of water. With your direct drilling, depending on your soil type, so there's a whole lot of things to think about when you're looking at your selections for your. And before long, we'll be selecting paddocks for next year, isn't it? So there's a whole lot of things we need to think about. Soil types major, but how you manage it the way, I suppose, the cultivation is part of it, but it's certainly not the major part of it. Yeah.
And it's interesting as well because we looked at this year and the big dry we had. We talk about the way that May saved everybody as far as yields go and crop, to the point where people of their crop, they're not going to finish their crops. Well, they will finish them, but they're getting a lot longer on there than they anticipated. So I suppose we can look through as, one of the control factors as well, going through the dry. This season, I guess we can tick that off.
Oh, yeah, and that's something we've got no control over, isn't it, Andy? But it's been fascinating to see that. People say that about Southland, don't they? It never lets you down, which when coming out of last autumn was, looked quite challenging. But for wintering, it's been good. I think, weather conditions, obviously, for Southland, that's a major, and that's what came, and it's stuff that farmers, they know consecutive, more consecutive days of rain you get, the bigger the challenge you've got. But as I say, the outcomes of the, I suppose the observations were really there's no silver bullet to wintering, getting it right. Most of the stuff that was observed, and it was farmers on other farmers' properties and looking at each other and what they were doing. And I think the attention to detail was the winner at the end of the day. Those guys that spent a lot of time thinking about it and working through it got the better outcomes. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole lot to think about. And just finally, Richard, the process starts. We talked to Bernadette Hunt. There's a lot of stuff happening outside Farm Gate at the moment. But as far as inside the Farm Gate, the process starts now, looking at next season, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, and I think a lot of people do. It's that crop paddock selection is probably one of the key areas that people need to spend a bit of time thinking about. You know, is it going to be what are your soil types? If you look at it, swales, and you know, is it going to be a good paddock to actually winter in? And people will, yes, I think sometimes you select because maybe you had a wet period and a grass paddock got a bit of a hiding. It might be better off back in grass than in crop. You know, those are the things that are really important to think about now for good outcomes next year.
Hey, Richard, thanks for your time as always on the muster, and we'll talk again in the near future. Appreciate it.
No, all good. Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
Richard Kite, the project lead for Thriving Southland. I love the work Thriving Southland do as well. Whenever I get them on the program, you're always learning something about whether it's catchment groups, talking about winter grazing in this scenario. There's always a lot of good stuff going on with that organisation. It's a pleasure to have them on the muster too when we do. Up next.